Hello, this is Pastor John from Stillwater Community Church, and I wanted to talk just a little bit about differences between Bible translations. One of the things that we're going to be studying in our Unseen Realm study this coming Sunday night is Deuteronomy 32, and if you read Deuteronomy 32 in a King James Version or a New American Standard, and then you read it in the English Standard Version or several other translations, you'll notice that there's a difference in the translation of these chapters between the translations, and that confuses a lot of people. Why would there be differences between the two translations, and is that something that should worry me as a Christian? And since I knew this was going to be a hot-button issue, I'm going to do my best to just kind of speak about it ahead of time. We'll obviously speak about it at the get-together itself, but this may help you in understanding the topic a little bit before we ever even arrive on campus. When it comes to documents in the ancient world, the more documents you have, the more confident you can be as to what something originally said. And that's actually a lot harder than you would think it would be. Most ancient documents don't come with a lot of ancient copies. For instance, there's only 7 copies of Plato. And I think the ones that you'd find most common is going to be something like the Iliad and the Odyssey. And those you only are going to get maybe 100, a little bit more. But when it comes to biblical manuscripts, we're drowning in them. The ancient Jewish community and the Christian community worked nonstop to protect and to preserve the ancient manuscripts. We know that there was tremendous care taken to record these words and to protect them. It wasn't just something that you did for fun. It was an incredibly serious activity to copy these things down. And in an age with Xerox machines and email, it may seem strange to us to think of it this way, but there were Christians who literally gave their lives to protect these documents. And the Bible that you have in your hands, that English translation, didn't drop down to us out of the heavens. Men and women fought tooth and nail to translate the Bible for you out of those ancient texts and into English. There are times when we look at the ancient manuscripts, where we notice that there are differences in the way that one manuscript reads from the way that another manuscript reads. And we call those textual variants. It's a big fancy word. It means stuff that's different in the text. And there's a lot of reasons for that. A textual variant can be as simple as misspelling something, or rearranging the words, saying something like Jesus Christ, when the other text said Christ Jesus. There are times when the scribe would be writing down the words and he would bring his eyes back up to the document he was writing from and read the wrong line. Sometimes the scribes wrote the same line twice on accident or omitted a word. This doesn't disprove the text. Instead, it just shows us that human beings were writing these words down. The copies of Scripture that were made were incredibly expensive to produce, and the best of them involved professional scribes who would be hired to come in and to write these things down for them. But most of the ancient followers of Jesus, and even going back into the Old Testament, they were doing the best they could with the means at hand. Many of them couldn't afford to have a professional scribe come and make a text copy, and so they did it themselves. They tried their best to write down what it said on the page. And sometimes they messed up. They spelled things differently. They forgot a line. Sometimes any number of things can happen. They could be reading it and think to themselves, it can't really mean that word. What's another word that I could use instead? And meaning to be helpful, they could change the meaning of the text. But thankfully, they weren't the only community writing these things down. All of the Christian communities were. And so when we find differences in the text, we go back and we look at the other ancient documents. The Christians were hunted. The ancient Jewish people were persecuted. Their documents were burned and destroyed, left to be rained on and just run over by people running from the cities. It's a wonder that we have any of these documents, but we have literally thousands of them. God has blessed us, not with a small number, but a massive number of manuscripts. One of the things that it's important that we do is to not overemphasize the importance or the role of textual variants. When you are reading an ancient document, any ancient document, you expect to find textual variants. It doesn't disprove the document. It's present everywhere that human beings have tried to make copies by hand. They're part of the way it works. At most, what a textual variant does is change whether we can use a particular verse as a proof text for one doctrine or another. It doesn't change the doctrine itself. It just changes what this verse was referring to. And that causes people a lot of grief when they find sometimes that one of their favorite verses isn't a support text for something that they thought it was. So if you want to know, for instance, where do we go to find ancient documents? They're summarized in what are called families of documents or texts. One of them, and the most famous of them, is called the Masoretic Text. And it's named after the ancient Hebrew scribes. And what they did is they took their ancient Hebrew documents and they wrote them down in Hebrew. This happens in the 9th century AD, long after the life of Jesus and the rise of the church. But the Jewish people underwent persecution. They underwent a loss of their home and the destruction of their temple. And so as time went on, they realized how important it was to protect those documents, and they created an abundance of manuscripts, which we call the Masoretic Text. They were common, well, as common as these sorts of things are, throughout the ancient world, and they served as a convenient and a clear and a beautifully accurate translation of the ancient texts for men who were translating the Bible into other languages. If you're reading from a King James Version or from a New American Standard Version, or you use Blue Letter Bible, those are based on the Masoretic Text. But after 70 AD, when the Hebrew temple was destroyed, so many of the ancient Hebrew documents were lost that we don't have many documents who are going farther back than the early Masoretic texts. They're very, very rare. There is, however, a Greek translation of those ancient Israeli texts, and it's called the Septuagint. So we see the Masoretic text, and then the destruction of the temple, and the documents were destroyed, the temple treasures were carried off. But thankfully, before any of that happened, the Greek-speaking world wanted to know what was in the Hebrew Bible. And it was copied from Hebrew, which very few people spoke, into Greek, which everybody spoke. And that translation is called the Septuagint. The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the ancient Hebrew scrolls, and it was written before the birth of Jesus. This family of documents was widely used in Jesus' day, and it is the Bible of the early church. It is the Bible that the apostles translated from when they were writing the New Testament, and it would have been the documents most of the ancient peoples of Jesus' day came in contact with. So what do you do if you're a scholar or you're really studying your Bible and you find a textual variant? Well, you use common sense and you go backwards. Why is there this difference? One of the verses that we're going to study Sunday night has one of these points in it, where the English Standard Version reads different from the King James or from the NASB. Which one is right? Well, for most of church history, Christians just argued about it. And we couldn't really know for sure, and so we did the best that we could, and we don't base doctrines on unsure lines. Some of your Bibles may have a little star next to the word and say, some translations say. The information is given to you. Nothing is being hidden. It's simply that we recognize there's some debate about what this word means. And we wished, oh, we wished that only somewhere out there was a cache of ancient documents that could serve as a neutral third party to help us translate between differences in the Masoretic and the Septuagint. Well, after World War II, that's exactly what we found in one of the most important archaeological finds of human history. Something called the Dead Sea Scrolls was discovered. It's an ancient cache of thousands of little pieces of manuscripts that have been pieced back together by scholars over, well, ever since then. They're still working on them today, still discovering more of them today, thousands of fragments. And they were discovered here in the Dead Sea Valley, tucked away inside of caves like this one, around an ancient Jewish community called Qumran. The Dead Sea Scrolls provide for us an ancient window into what the Bible read like in the life of Jesus and before. And the wonderful thing about it is, it reads just like we thought it would. There are no major differences, no major doctrines are impacted by the differences of these debated words. And when we read the Dead Sea Scrolls, sometimes it supported the Masoretic, and sometimes it supported the Septuagint readings. But because it exists as an independent source, it gives us a beautiful window into the past. So I hope that you'll come out and talk about these things with us. And I hope that you understand this a little bit more. And if you have questions, I'd love to talk to you about it. May God bless you.